Good morning. Y'all can hear me okay? When I was a kid, growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area in the 90s, or as I've been tragically informed, is now referred to as the late 1900s, I listened almost exclusively to one radio station, 99.7 KFRC, the oldies, playing the best of the 60s and 70s. They played all the greats, the Supremes, the Beach Boys, Creedence, James Brown, Aretha Franklin, and the Stones. I even had a favorite Beatle. It was George. But occasionally they'd play something older, something from the 1950s. One such song was a haunting melody by the Sons of the Pioneers, Cool Water. It told the story of a group moving through the West, desperately searching for water to drink. All day I faced a barren waste, without the taste of water. Cool water. Old Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water. Cool, clear water. In my imagination, I always picture a dusty group trudging through the Badlands, a desert valley dry as bone, desperate for something to quench their staggering thirst. We can live for weeks without food, but only for 3 days without water. Our bodies are 90% made up of this stuff. We are, point in fact, a body of living water. Which is why today's gospel, while so short, just three verses, nevertheless plumbs the soul with resonance. We've all had moments when we were desperate for something to keep us going in the wilderness. And the wilderness is exactly where the apostles are about to go. Jesus is sending the disciples out into the world, into lands both good and bad, to proclaim the good news. He warns them in previous verses, "I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. You will be dragged before governors and kings because of me." Yikes. This is a training mission in many ways, as Jesus is still around. It's early in Matthew's gospel, well before the garden, the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then finally the Great Commission, where the apostles are now sent to the whole world, which doesn't happen until Matthew 28. Here, they're just being asked to check in on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I like to think of this as similar to the time I got to moonlight as a resident. Now, for those of you who don't know, moonlighting is when, as a resident doctor or a doctor in training, you get a chance to practice medicine on your own before you completely graduate. You get to spend a few shifts out in the real world, providing care without someone more senior double-checking your work. I spent a few shifts a month at a rural Indiana emergency room as a third-year resident, where I saw and treated patients on my own, but then got to come back to the home base to run a few cases by the attending to see if I did it right. And boy, I gotta tell you, it was really different and much harder when I was out there on my own. I once had a young woman come in completely unresponsive. And whereas before, in my training program, I would have had a team of co-residents to swarm her and help, now I was by myself, realizing I could literally do only one thing at a time, and I needed to pick which I did first. Do I scan her head? Do I intubate? Should I get labs? And while I wasn't risking my life, I was risking hers. And when you're in those moments, when you're on your own, scared and unsure of what to do, and feeling the weight of it all, even some of the smallest acts can feel like outsized gifts. The simple thank you from a family member, or the extra work the other attending picked up as I was overwhelmed, or even just the gummy bears in the break room. The cool water needed when you're at your wit's end comes in many forms. And that's where God is, in the small, in the everyday things, the things that are just enough to keep you going. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever shows you charity, kindness, generosity, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, grace, or even just helps you laugh in the middle of a rough patch, these are all acts of welcome. These are all acts of love. Jesus goes out of his way to point out that these acts are of huge importance, framing the point with, "Very truly, I tell you," which in antiquity is the modern equivalent of putting something in all bold, all red, all caps. Jesus wants us to pay attention here because he knows we are likely to miss it. We're distracted, looking around for God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We're looking for grandeur. We're looking for display. We have serious priors that need confirmation. But he wants us to see that God shows up differently than we expect. But he is showing up, and it's all around us. Now that feels like some very good news indeed. News that feels worth sharing. News that feels worth, telling someone. So much of evangelism in our mind is caught up in images of slick peddlers of salvation brought to you by a 1-800 number or whatever the TikTok equivalent hustle is. It's all so cringe. But friends, we are hurting. Nietzsche 100 years ago predicted that a rising secularism would, to paraphrase, where God is dead and we killed him, would result in a world facing a profound nihilistic crisis and would result in a feeling of endless nothingness and existential disorientation. Well, I sort of feel like the man was onto something. We now live in a world where 30% of the American public have no particular religion, and the default worldview is secular rationalism. Simultaneously, and maybe not coincidentally, rates of suicidality, anxiety, depression, loneliness, and general despair are through the roof. We find ourselves searching, yearning, longing, thirsting for something. We know something is off, and we try thing after thing, solution after solution, with no improvement in our symptoms. We just can't put our finger on what we need. I know friends and loved ones convinced they are having emotional or physical crises when they're having a spiritual one. In that context, telling someone God is there, and more importantly, showing them where and how God tends to show up, feels like something worth doing. Our soul longs for God, the way our body longs for water. It's just how we're built. We are beings that are made of body and soul, and we need to tend to the needs of both. In John's Gospel, Jesus makes this more explicit. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture had said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Folks, I'm not sure that as we are bodies of living water, we can thrive without bathing ourselves and our souls in the life-restoring waters of faith. So I offer you this. Our faith is a practice that helps us look for and see the cups of cool water being offered to us when we are in the bad lands of our life. Look for them. They're there. And when you can, as Jesus would have the disciples and us do, I encourage you to offer that cup to someone else who you see is thirsty as well. Amen.